Obviously, America is a car-crazed culture. We love our cars. It's one of those things that we just completely take for granted. We just hop in the car whenever we want. We go wherever we want.
Driving an automobile has always been thought to be a visual activity.
I used to really love driving. It was one of the things I did not only to get around and to do the things that I needed to do, but it was something I did for recreation. I knew that my sight was limited and it was getting worse all the time. You know, I finally came to the realization that, you know, you just got to stop driving.
We believe in the National Federation of the Blind that we can do it if we just build the interface to make it possible. Today, we are working on the blind drivable car. We call it the National Federation of the Blind Blind Driver Challenge.
Now with this project, I'm starting to think of the possibilities of, wow, maybe I will drive again sometime.
So we're all looking at this as a project that does have some risk. But the only way you push forward and truly move something to the next level is by being willing to take those risks. You think about the history of flight in this country. I mean, we didn't get an airplane into the air until 1904, and in 60 years we were landing on the moon. So I look at this project and I say, what will this be in 50 years?
To accomplish our goal, the National Federation of the Blind will work in partnership with universities and technology manufacturers to combine our pioneering enterprise with their technical expertise to make the dream of a car drivable by the blind a reality.
My name is Dennis Hong. I'm a professor in mechanical engineering and also the director of Romela, the Robotics and Mechanisms Laboratory at Virginia Tech. One of the key technologies that we develop is called AirPix. You can think of AirPix as a computer monitor for the blind. It's like a tablet device. Think of a air hockey table. There's a lot of holes on it. Compressed air comes out, so the user can move his or her hand over it and actually see the environment around the vehicle. Another non-visual user interface technology is called DriveGrip. It's a glove that has vibrating motors on the back of the hand. So depending on how the motors vibrate, it gives information about direction. So we use that for conveying directional information to the user.
This is one of the two actual vehicles that will be converting to the next generation Blind Driver Challenge vehicle.
The blind drivable car is one of the most exciting opportunities to build new technologies to bring information to the blind that we have ever undertaken.
It gives you freedom and it really brings into reality that this could happen someday.
What do you think?
I think it's great. I haven't driven in 6 years and I want to drive again. What do you think about that?
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Locke.
Welcome to Serotalk.
Podcast number 45 for July 5th, 2010. This is Michael Locke.
And I'm Ricky Enger.
Hey, everybody. This is Mike Calvo. And I've got somebody with me today, our mystery. Well, he's not a mystery anymore. If you're following us on Twitter, if you're reading the blog, if you're not hiding under a freaking rock, you know who I'm about to introduce. Yes, it's the glorious Ranger.
Hey, greetings and salutations, Sir Techion.
We're going to unmask you now.
Not disrobe you, just unmask you. Okay, all right. Well, okay. It's very important. The luchador fact,
yes.
Right? Okay.
And also here we have Roger with us, and we have my son, Michael Calvo.
Hey.
And we're just hanging out here in Dallas. We thought we'd send in a podcast and let everybody know Ranger, have you found anything of particular interest here that really has kind of turned you on here?
Well, you know, a lot of people are talking about Blio, and they've been telling us that that's been being demonstrated really well. I want to go by later and check that out myself.
When are they releasing it?
Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
So nobody knows.
No, I haven't been able to gain that. I will try a Ouija board later and commune with the spirits to see if we get those dates. So.
Yeah, right, and we'll get you some deliverance.
Absolutely. We've also seen some stuff from GW Micro, who has the new SenseNav update and the new update to their note taker, the Braille Sense, and Humanware, who has introduced the voice version of the Apex. So,
yawn. Yeah, oh, sorry.
Yeah, we got that. Yeah. But you know, one of the cool things that we've seen is something that you purchased, Mike.
I love it. Right here on the iPad and on the iPhone, the cool folks that bring us Salona have brought us these very cool covers. They're screen protectors, but they have little dots on them. They have Braille on them, and they rock, man. They're awesome on the iPad. They actually have a QWERTY keyboard that's along one side, and so as you, of course, put your iPad in landscape and the QWERTY keyboard comes up, you can just tap the keys. And on the iPhone, it works very well as well. They have dots. They don't have letters there, but they do have a very interesting design. I haven't had a lot of chance to play with them, but Bernard did bring them by the booth, showed them to me, and when I saw them, I had to have them. And we do really, really ask all our Cero Talk listeners to support these guys. These are the ones that bring us Salona, a very selfless company that brings us free CAPTCHA service. There are many, many services in this world that have blind people keep out signs because of CAPTCHAs. And of course, as we agitate for change and as we agitate and advocate that these people put audio CAPTCHAs up, the fine folks at Salona are still helping us out as a community selflessly. And I mean, they don't charge a dime. They don't accept a dime. All they're doing is they're trying to monetize their business by doing these screen protectors. So even if you don't own an iPhone or an iPad, if you know someone who does, hey, buy them. Buy him one.
One of the cool things about Bernard, when he came by the booth, he actually had a netbook with him with a 3G card on it. And as he was talking to us, he goes, hold on a second, I got to solve a CAPTCHA. The man carries this around with him, and that's how dedicated he is to the product. So,
you see how tall that guy is, dude?
Oh, dude. He's tall.
I'm
6'1", and he was towering over
me. He was tall. Hey, Bernard, what's up, man? What are you eating?
I got to go get this ladder to whisper in your ear, bro.
We also got to enjoy some other great times listening to all the screaming and yelling for... Scissors from Iowa! Scissors from Iowa! Wait a minute, didn't they have bacon in Iowa? No, Curtis Chong and the crew are out there selling scissors.
And I have to say that I think the thing that's getting sold the most is candy bars. I've been approached and offered at least half a 7-Eleven of chocolate bars.
But dude, no dark chocolate?
No.
Hello?
No.
No dark chocolate.
Just almond bars or almond bark bars or pieces of tree in bars. I'm not really sure. There seems to be a lot of chocolate floating around the convention, which is good because you don't want to order a cheeseburger here at $18.
And the other thing that I saw that was really cool, the folks over at Digital Eyes, besides Michael making Digital Eyes at the Digital Eyes.
Let's just call it a mirror.
Yeah, booth babes at NFB.
Oh, dude.
Surprising. You'd think there wouldn't be eye candy at a blindness conference, but hey, there we go.
We digress. But the folks at Digital Eyes have really gone the extra mile with their Digital Eyes product, which is an application for the iPhone and the iPod Touch, of course, I'm sure, when it comes with a camera later, if it comes with a camera later. I have no official word from Apple, just kind of disclaiming it here, that there will be an iPod camera, but you know, that's what they say, September, they're refreshing the product line, never know. For $29.99 at the App Store, you can buy this Digital Eyes and scan products. Not only can you scan barcodes, it's actually pretty easy to use, Joe. It's not bad, but it does take a little getting used to. But it beats the heck out of the Shop Savvy Red Laser and a couple of the ones. You know, stand still when you're scanning, darn it, and line up the my favorite one is to line up the lines on the screen with the barcode. This application doesn't care. It scans, then it does a lookup on the internet and tells you what stuff is. Or you can actually make your own labels using just regular old labels off that you can buy at Office Max or whatever for about a penny a label, and you can type in what you want them to be, or you can record. They had the cute little Miracle Girl, the daughter. The family's name is Miracle. That's so cool.
They had a Miracle Child.
And the Miracle Child, she was recording about her favorite spaghetti for 4th of July. I make her sound little, but she's not. She's a college student, and mom and dad are very proud of her. and her brother, of course. But anyway, you know, we digress. We just want it to be such a family show.
Yeah, it is. You know, it holds up to 100 characters.
What, the family show?
No, the label.
Oh, yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, that is important.
Speaking of scanning, you know, right down the hallway from us is Freedom Scientific, and they've got the Pearl out. A lot of people have been looking at that and saying some good things about it. That's working with the new OpenBook 9, which is also on demonstration there, and Magic 12, which is using dual-screen monitor support. So that's something new that they're bringing. Dusty did a presentation on that earlier in the week.
And I will say, for the record, because I've been known to bash a few of the more expensive scanning products, OpenBook and Kurzweil in particular, we've got a version of DocuScan that we're calling DocuScan Plus coming out in the next couple of weeks. And I will tell you, while DocuScan Plus is going to be an awesome product and it's going to have some features, and we've been demoing it here with the phones and, you know, with the iPhone, and it's going to have mobile scanning and things like that, it is not going to be a 100% replacement for these products that cost $900-something. Jackson, stop! He's over here going...
He's giving me kisses. I'm trying to hold his tags here.
Hold on. Let me pull off those tags. That way, when he shakes,
So we're going to say hi. You want to say hi, Jackson?
Jackson's right here in the mic. Right,
go. Go. Say,
all right,
go. Wait, there he goes. Here he goes.
I'm pretty sure he's going to knock over the mic.
Okay. That's enough.
Stage fright.
Okay.
No, you called him over. Now he's like, I want to be involved.
In looking over all the products on the market and to be able to say, okay, we do this and they do that and they do that and we do this, these products all do so much. And both Kurzweil and OpenBook are well worth the money that you spend for them if you need the amount of features that they offer. I mean, a lot of time goes into these products. These products scan in multiple languages. They speak in multiple languages. There's a lot to them. Do you agree, Joe?
I think so. Also, you know, when I...
I didn't know. So now he tries to kiss me.
Lay down. You owned a lap dog.
Lay down. There you go, there good puppy. Go. Okay.
So part of all of that about choice and having the ability of choice is ABIC as well, who is really, they started a survey on having their products, which would be the iPal and the ZoomX and all that, working on the Mac. So, you know, as much as some people would say that the Pearl is coming into the ABIC space, ABIC is now looking at the Mac to be able to offer those kinds of solutions as well. So it's great that there are a lot of people looking at all these different options and bringing us choice, because that's really what it's about, is not choosing one solution for much of anything, but having an ability to try lots of solutions.
Yeah, they've got the ABIC product in beta right now. I was actually talking to Dave and to Kitty out there at ABIC, and they were telling me how they have it. I actually have back at the office, I have a copy of the ABIC of their product that I have had for about a month. And I've just been so busy that I have not had a chance to unpack it and do a review on it, but I promise I will. The whole idea of this podcast, I remind everybody, is even though Serotech does provide certain products, we really do products that I think will complement the big brothers or the people who are really, really, really focused on doing whatever it is they do. And sometimes what we do is just enough. People say, well, for example, do you compete with Freedom Scientific? Well, no, we don't. I don't think that that System Access is a competitor for JAWS or a competitor for Window Eyes. There are things that JAWS and Window Eyes do that Serotech products do as well, and we do them for a whole lot less money. And if that's all you need your product to do, then why on earth would you consider paying $800, $900, $1,000 to do it? However, if you are out there and you're trying to work in an employment situation, you need the flexibility of a scripting language, look at GW Micro. Look at JAWS for Windows. I suggest you look a little harder at GW Micro, because I believe that the JAWS for Windows scripting language is getting just a little long in the tooth. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and look at all the choices that are coming out of Script Central, because Script Central is one of the few times you've ever seen a community get together and really support a product in that kind of way, especially as far as scripting is concerned. All the stuff that's come out for Winamp, the stuff for Java. That's a wonderful opportunity to go and see what's available right there on Script Central. You can go through, all the documentation is there. They've had that ability to pay for scripts, and nobody's really ever used it. So That says a lot about that scripting language.
It's a community, dude. I mean, the whole thing is that GW Micro has been able to foster that community spirit, much like we do here at Serotech. We love to see it. We believe that, obviously, if somebody has taken the time to write a script, they should be financially compensated for it. There's a difference between compensation and gouging, and only the market can dictate that. Listen, if there's been a $900, a $1,000, an $800 screen reader being sold, it's only because people are buying it. Hello, this is why we are in a capitalist-driven society. We at Serotech have provided a certain level of competition on certain levels. I mean, there are certain things that we just don't do that we feel that others can do good and others can do even better than good, and which is why we believe that if you look into a crystal ball, I believe that when the books are written, GW Micro scripting language, when you look at it feature for feature, kills JAWS for Windows. You know, you got to give the devil his due. There's a lot more installed JAWS for Windows scripts out there than there are GW Micro. So who's going to write the conversion script, right? Who's going to write the, we will do this in GW Micro scripts now that you used to do in JAWS?
Speaking of the community, Mike, I want to take a quick second and thank everybody for their kind tweets, their wonderful comments on Facebook, even comments that have been made to me in email, and people on the floor who welcomed me into the Serotech community. I really appreciate it. You guys are fantastic. I feel like I really am joining family. I've known Mike, and I've known Ricky, and I've known a lot of the cats at Serotech for a long time.
We love you, Joe.
I do too. I do too.
Thanks, man.
And so it's a really good opportunity to come on.
We call it the Brokeback Podcast.
Oh, my. I really wanted to say thanks to everybody, and I'm looking forward to being on the podcast and doing some blog posts for Serotech and doing some things in the community and getting to know a lot of you guys better. That's what I meant in that blog post, and I truly believe it.
And you got some great tech talks planned, I know, in the can that are coming up. Joe is going to be taking over our Thursday night tech chats, and that's going to be cool. As Michael moves into other things, he's going to, of course, be continuing to do the Serotech podcast, and you're going to see a lot more from Mr. Loff in other areas, but Joe is going to add his awesome training skills to the Thursday night tech chats, and we're going to take those in a little bit more of kind of an educational / geeky direction that I think you guys are going to like. And of course, if you do or you don't like, we invite you to give us a call on the Blab line, send us your feedback and your 2 cents, and we will be happy to air our dirty laundry right here on the air. So that is our report from here, from Dallas.
Beautiful, humid Dallas.
Oh, man. You're not kidding, dude.
Thank you, Alex.
Yes, and we are going to let you go so you can go hang out with your geeky little friends and go do your geeky thing over here. Where are you going tonight, anyway?
I'm doing the Assistive Technology Trainers Division. I'm a board member for the AT Trainers Division, and we will be having Kathy Ann Murtha speak about her training stuff over at Access Technology, and then we'll have some of the guys come on board and talk about training on the Mac, and then we'll be discussing a little bit more on Office. Some of those lucky people, I actually brought a whole bunch of Microsoft information on DVD that I'll be giving away. I'll make them do stupid things or ask good questions. I just can't give away something without making people act very strange. It goes back to radio and making people do terrible dances for 39-cent koozies.
If it involves Doctor Who, you're in.
Yeah, you have a much better chance of talking TARDIS with me, and that'll work, as Mike has found out from one of my blog posts recently.
See the Ranger Station blog, the Serotech blog, and check out what's going on. Follow us on Twitter at Serotech. And what's your direct link to Twitter?
At Ranger Station. Facebook.com, Ranger1138, although that hardly ever gets updated.
And I am Twitter.com/ Mike Calvo, or at Mike Calvo, no spaces. Please do follow us. And Michael, it's back to you and Ricky. And you guys are going to be at ACB next, so I'll look forward to hearing your reports there. See ya!
Those guys are coming to you from booth B119 at NFB, and you can catch Michael and me this week, actually beginning Saturday, July 10th. We will be in the exhibit hall at ACB, and our booth number there is 27. So drop by and say hello. We got a lot of cool stuff to show you.
We got 4 new voices: Ivona, Amy and Brian from the UK, and we have Eric and Jennifer from the US, and you can put that through its paces right now. It has been officially released as of July 4. So go into my account and do the 30-day trial and have a play with these new voices. We have 2 new Braille displays that have been added, right? The Seika Trans Braille 40.
That's right. Hook that up via Bluetooth and play around with it. We also are supporting Braille Pen. It's a rather small display. I think it's 12,
right? Braille
so.
Pen 12, yes.
That would make a fantastic addition to your iPhone or other portable device that accepts Braille, and certainly would go nicely with a netbook so that you can use Braille while you're out on the road and not have to carry around something very large.
And we've also added support for the keyboard on the Refresher Braille 18. So also exciting news is SamNet on the iPhone, taking it one feature, you know, at a time. There's a lot of features to be imported.
But I think you're going to love what we have now, and it can only get better from here. You really are going to want to see DocuScan Plus. We are developing a new product to replace our existing DocuScan, and it's got a lot of great features. You're going to be able to scan from SA to Go. You're going to be able to use document cameras if you have those, and on the iPhone at the moment, and it's certainly going to be cross-platform on Symbian, Windows Mobile, Android. You will be able to snap a picture, have the OCR done on the server, and have the results come right back to you. And let me tell you something, this works very, very well, assuming that you are able to snap the picture correctly, because if you cut off half the page, the OCR engine is not going to be able to fill that in for you. But if you have a decent picture, the results are amazing. I was out the other day and had one of these glossy menus that had four different panels of stuff on it, and well, about 3 minutes later, I had made my choice from the menu based on the results that I got from this DocuScan Plus app on my iPhone.
Check out the coverage via serotalk.com. We'll get you hooked up. We'll grab as many interviews as possible, as well as manning the booth. So come by and say hello. We could do interviews there as well. Well, first in the phone arena, Verizon on the iPhone. It's going to happen for real, they say, and probably at the very beginning of 2011.
Once someone is holding this device in their hand, I will believe it. This seems a bit more likely than the last few predictions we've seen.
Well, A, because, you know, obviously there were contractual limitations that have given AT&T exclusivity, which those do end at the end of 2010, and the fact that the phone has five antennas to pretty much cover all of the bands means definitely there's some plan for some other carriers to be supported. Hulu Plus. Many of our users use Hulu. We have links to it in the entertainment guide. But they've come out with Hulu Plus for iOS 4, and it is going to have a monthly price of $9.95.
You can not only use this on your iDevice, but you can certainly watch it streaming from the PC and from various other devices. Whereas the current version of Hulu allows you to look at five episodes in a season, Hulu Plus is going to give you access to the entire season, and in some cases, access to the entire show library for shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and popular ones. It hasn't been released yet, but you can send an invite request to sort of look at the Hulu Plus beta. I have done that, and unfortunately, the response that I got was, "We will send you an invite as soon as one is available."
Well, we do certainly hope that it's accessible. I know Liam Irvin is working on and asking us to help join him in getting Mobi.tv, which has a lot of TV stations and feeds.
Thanks to the power of Twitter, we had some other folks get involved, and Daryl Shandro from the Blind Access Journal blog got involved and actually spoke with Director of Something. The result of that was pretty hopeful, and we're hoping to see an accessible version of Mobi.tv for the iPhone within the next 2 months.
What is Code Factory going to do if Windows Mobile 7 is inaccessible? How are they going to keep the revenue stream going? Well, the obvious option is to upgrade Mobile Speak, and they've done so. It's now up to version 4.5 for Symbian. On the same note, we read that Nokia N8 is going to be the last N-series Symbian phone.
Yeah, what they've chosen is a platform called MeeGo, and it's a Linux-based platform. They only have it on a couple of devices at the moment. It's on a couple of netbooks, and Nokia is really the first real foray into using this particular platform.
Go to serotalk.com. We have an updated iPhone and iPod Touch voice commands cheat sheet, so you can find out all of the commands maybe you never knew, plus a few new ones that have been added in iOS 4. So check that out at serotalk.com. Customers of Chase will have the option to deposit their checks via their iPhone. Of course, this is going to require scanning both the front and the back of their checks to do so, but I'm hoping this is going to be accessible. It's going to be very important for us as blind folk to really understand how to scan with our phones.
Yeah, that's really an art, but I love the fact of not having to make a trip to the bank just for the express purpose of dropping a piece of paper into a slot and then going back home.
Well, there are some limitations. I think it is limited to $1,000 or less. There have been two scanning and reading apps released for the iPhone. The first one, I have not had any luck with. There's a video and demo showing successful use of it. It is called SayText, and we're very excited because it is free. But all I get are some asterisks and slashes and a few weird characters, but no legible text as of yet.
I have had three successful uses of this program. And what's interesting to me is that I sort of think I have the art of getting the camera positioned correctly. And you've got to be in really good light unless there is a flash on your camera, such as there is in the iPhone 4. But you've got to be in great light and you've got to have great camera positioning. I've taken two pictures in succession with SayText, and the first one was very legible, and the next one was just as you described, a lot of stars and ampersands and such, and the conditions, to me at least, were exactly the same. I haven't gotten the automatic snap to actually snap a picture, but what I do is place the device in the exact center of the page and then lift up approximately 8 inches and try to hold the thing as straight as you can, because apparently if you're even an eighth of an inch off as you twist your wrist to the right or the left, just not quite lined up, you're going to miss a significant portion of the page because of the way zooming works. So it really is an art. It really does take practice.
You're holding the phone how, across the page in the center, like with the home key on the left?
Nope. Actually, you're holding it straight. I am holding it vertically with the home button on
the bottom. Well, there you go. There's a few useful tips from Ms. Ricky. Let's see if we can get that bad boy working. Now, have you played with Digitize?
I have. My feelings are so mixed on this product.
Digit-Eyes.
Is an iPhone app which reads existing barcodes, and it also allows you to create your own custom labels that can then be read by the app. So if you want to put a label on your medicine bottle saying what it is, and then have DigitEyes scan that, you can do it. This is for $29 in the App Store, and the app itself is incredible with one small caveat. Bring up the app, and every 5 seconds or so, a picture is snapped until you find the barcode that you're looking for. Once you find the barcode that you're looking for, it will look up what that is, read you the name of it, and then bring up a Google search, if you like, where you can search for product directions or even pricing on what you've just scanned. But back to the caveat. If you have no idea where a barcode might be located on something, let's say you've got a cereal box, which is pretty large, there are multiple places on this box where a barcode could be located. On the top flap of the box, it could be located on the top front or back of the box. Then, of course, you've got the sides, and then you go to the middle quadrants on front and back and lower quadrants. You can print out your own labels on the DigitEyes website, and I haven't yet done this, but you can create those custom labels. You don't have to purchase a specific type of label and use that one exclusively. You just have your computer and your printer, and you're free to create your own.
Two new exciting technologies, give them a play, have some patience, be willing to experiment. New reading accessibility is yours. Sendero has released their accessible talking maps for Windows. Now, we have three different prices based on what you may already own, anywhere from $78 to $188 or $398 if you own nothing from them already. We will get some more information at the convention on that one. 500 jobs available, specifically looking for people with disabilities and the whole ticket to work spiel. The problem? None of this stuff works with screen reading technology. There's a typing test and other things that do not work with JAWS or System Access or any screen reader.
It's a way that people who are on SSI or SSDI can go back to work. The wages are between $8 and $11 an hour, and it's a work-from-home opportunity. And as you're working, you will not get any penalties against your SSI or SSDI for the first 9 months of that work period. So it's a great incentive for some people to go back to work and not be so concerned about losing their benefits immediately. But guess what? We can't take advantage of it.
MIT researchers are developing a smartphone app that will allow two-minute eye exams. So this is a great way in third world countries, as you said, where glasses and eyewear are not as prevalent as they are here, or even if they are, the financial means to acquire them.
They have some sort of lens, which is then paired with the portable device. So this isn't an app that you use at home. It's something that the doctors have access to, and that's because they don't have access to the really expensive ophthalmological. They use this app because they don't have access to the much more expensive equipment, which does this type of thing. But you walk into the doctor's office, they have this lens paired with the app, get a two-minute eye exam with really inexpensive equipment, and then it spits out your prescription for you. And who knows, you could use that prescription to get your eyeglasses with liquid inside them so that they can be adjusted easily in the future.
Let's look at some advocacy news. First thing, there's a new law that should make cruise ships and ferries more accessible. And you can read more about that at ZeroTalk.com. Stevie Wonder says, make it accessible. As he wraps up a tour, he pleased to manufacturers to make their products more accessible and usable, not only to blind, but also deaf and quadriplegic. We told you so. We're talking about H.R. 3101. It has passed through the House subcommittee, but there are already two items that have been removed, one of which I think the ACB is not very happy about, and that's modifications, I think it was Section 105, having to do with DVS, described video services, and now it's limited to only the top 25 markets. Most of us do not reside in. By the time it goes before the House for a vote and then makes its way to the Senate, this thing is going to be sliced and diced.
Stripped down, because they've already taken out anything to do with deafblind individuals. So, I mean, what we're seeing here is accessibility as defined by a certain group of people. And guess what? Accessibility doesn't work that way, because we all have different needs and this just can't be mandated.
Well, it's a regular mainstream tech news. WordPress now lets you phone in your blog posts. Well, at least if you have a blog via the free WordPress.com service, but hopefully that will be expanded to those of us who install it on our own websites. Be really cool if they could do it with Skype so you could get some higher quality presentations, but we'll follow that and see how that works. If you are using it or know someone that is, we'd like to hear how it works, how it sounds, and if you can do everything via the phone, enter some codes or something and actually have it post directly to your blog without logging in. We'll kind of see how that works. Google has launched real-time blogger stats. So as we stay in the blogosphere, this is exciting that within minutes, find out when you post blog articles, who's reading it, and geographic information, date and time information. So it's always interesting to see certain hours of the day when your website peaks. A lot of times right at 9 a.m. So I guess a lot of people integrate.
You're getting into work and rather than starting to be productive, hey, it's time to read my morning news.
A judge allows multiple P2P lawsuits up to 5,000 at the same time, and even crossing state lines. And I mention this because a lot of blind folks, no different from society in general, are doing file sharing. A lot of them are doing it via Dropbox now, and I'm wondering if and when that could become an issue. People are pretty haphazard about it, and if Dropbox is ever subpoenaed, or even the ISPs, just making note of which files are going where. Something to be concerned about if you're just trading music and movies and sound files and books that you do not legally own. This is a precedent, at least for now, that could come back and bite you. I don't know if I'd buy any of these because to me, I don't care how the speaker looks. I want it to sound good. It could be ugly. I just want the thing to sound good. But here's an article talking about 10 fun iPod speakers for listening in styles.
Come on. You mean you don't want to buy the iDuck, which floats around in your bathtub and is paired via Bluetooth to your iPod? They've got one that's a ceramic pig. So if you're a big figurine collector or whatever, you could have this thing on your...
Hi, Ducky, you're the one. You make bathing so much fun.
There is one that I actually am kind of fascinated by, the iRocket, the gel speaker. So you put it on a surface like a table or a window or whatever, and that particular surface then becomes the speaker. Now, the iRocket talked about in this article is exclusively for the iPhone and the iPod, I believe, but our very own gadget guru Brian has one called the Wowie gel speaker, which is a cross device type thing, just uses a standard 3.5 millimeter jack, and you can turn whatever surface you want into a big booming speaker.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you get really good full range response on that. But if any of you own those, I'd certainly like to hear, is it acceptable? Is it really just a gimmick product? We'd like to know. Resources at serotalk.com. This could be really exciting. There's a new network design that could make your internet up to 100 times faster. Gets a little geeky about the way data is received by your modem. It would require replacing with new modems, which companies seem to do every couple of years anyway. This one I'm very concerned about, and is a very strong argument for all of you who feel like I don't need any security software because I only go to legitimate websites. But a new study says that infected legitimate websites outscore the adult sites that we normally associate with malware 99-1. So they're saying that 99% of infected websites are mainstream sites that we would normally feel safe going to. 10 years ago, people would just go in and hack the site, you know, and put up some political statement or Zoe was here. But now it's a matter of getting in, adding some malware or something to maybe grab personal data from you and then leaving, and otherwise leaving the site untouched so it could go unnoticed for days or weeks, as we saw with a big compromise of credit card numbers a couple years ago in the millions. So something to be mindful of.
Don't ever assume that you are safe. Always have some form of antivirus and anti-malware software installed on your machine.
Or even consider using a sandbox. I posted a link today to the latest version of Sandboxy, version 3.46. Basically, it's a one-time browsing session, and when you close it, all data is removed, and it's not allowed to interact. Now, sometimes you can have problems browsing that way. Verizon is also ready to crank up internet speeds, testing their next-gen 10 Gbps, 10 gigabits per second Fios. But my question is, who's going to pay for it? These guys can keep cranking up speeds, and the hope is that, well, great, as they make things faster, people will pay for it. But people are getting set in their ways. They want to pay a certain dollar amount per month. There certainly are business customers that might pay a little bit more, but still, budgets are always on our minds. So you can come up with the latest and greatest technologies, but you also need to do your marketing and find out, will people actually pay for it once it's deployed? We get so many compliments on the news that we cover, and the way that we're getting the information is via Twitter. So I was very intrigued with this article that says, how do you help new users of Twitter stay engaged? Because the problem is they come and they add 10 or 15 friends, and their friends either post useless information or really do nothing. They set it up and kind of left it alone. So it talks about some things like checking out their followers, seeing who they are following. If you're interested in news, actually looking for news sources that you might watch via traditional media like CNN or, you know, National Public Radio or Ars Technica or CNET. Likewise, maybe you have hobbies that you're interested in. Most companies now have a presence on Twitter. If you're interested in amateur radio or cooking or whatever you're into, there are entities posting new developments. A lot of them are jaded toward the specific company selling their wares. The key to it is following the right people. Then it is an unstoppable tool. But if you just do it because a friend says, hey, check this out, you're going to be like many people who say, yeah, it's kind of boring.
If you are coming to Twitter to maybe make some new friends, what you want to do is ask your existing friends to introduce you to other people. And one thing I found that helps is as I'm having conversations with people, I will be able to mention their Twitter name in an update that everyone sees. And then somebody says, Twitter name is involved in a conversation with Ricky about some thing, I think I'd like to follow this person now because they share an interest with me. It really grows from, as the article said, thinking of it like a cocktail party. You can't just kind of blunder in and say, hey, look at me. I have a bunch of cool stuff to say. Start out talking with the people that you know, and in turn, just through the course of everyday conversation, you become introduced to more and more people, and it continues to grow like that.
Google is rolling out a music service. They certainly want their hands into anything that's profitable. So what's going to happen is when you go to Google to search for information on a particular song or artist, they're going to offer you a link to their music service where you can buy it.
They're in the very early stages of this right now, it appears, and a lot of people don't even seem to know if they have established any deals with record companies. We're not going to see this until at least very late this year.
Google Voice is now available for all persons in the USA. A lot of powerful features there, including the ability to have all items go to one number, voice recognition, the ability to basically block certain phone numbers so they just get a continuous ring. A few podcasts we want to mention. There's one that talks about installing and configuring Miranda. I just started using this. It's been around for a few years. It's not quite for the newbie. Basically, you're talking about a messaging client. It lets you do Windows Messenger, AIM, Yahoo, but you can even post to Facebook, which that could be intriguing to some folks, especially those who don't have the socializer. You generally have to install some DLLs or some kind of plugins before it actually starts reading things to you, and then you have to know, like, Control-Shift-A to toggle it so that you can actually see the client, and the control window's eye to get your recent messages. So Miranda's kind of a cool app. I've been playing with it. It definitely works with System Access once you make the necessary modifications, but it's not for the newbie or neophyte because you're definitely manipulating some files to make it happen. Very cool. If you like to play around, you can check that out. And Liam Irvin has been doing a few podcasts trying to get people up to speed on certain aspects of iOS 4, and he's created something called Liam's Land. A lot of people ask me about how to get started into podcasting, and I think this is going to be a very useful tool here, and that's the Zoom H1. No menus, just all buttons and controls to do some voice recording of MP3 and WAV, and it's going to sell for just $99. I use the Zoom H2 in all of the ATIA and CSUN and ACB convention stuff in 2009 until it met its demise in the Calvo pool. So you can listen to those and get an idea of the sound quality. It's a nice recorder. Some of the buttons are a little cheap. It has a very high-quality microphone, its ability to record directly into MP3, and I think it even supports up to 32 gigs. So imagine how many hours of MP3 recording, and it runs on one AA. So for those of you wanting to do podcasts and want a good recorder that's going to be accessible and small to fit in your pocket, and you can take out in the field and capture events, I think this Zoom H1, slated to be released on July 31st, is definitely something worth considering, and hopefully we'll get our hands on one and give you a demo of that. Scott Rakowski reviewing the Zany Touch, which is an iPhone app, kind of like Bop It. Did you ever play Bop It?
I never did. I guess I'm going to see what Bop It is like by playing Zany Touch.
This is kind of the Bop It on steroids because you can go anywhere between 3 and 8 gestures that you have to do, wow. And it speeds up as time goes on. So this could be great for kids or folks just to improve your coordination. So I think that's exciting. And for 99 cents, you can't go wrong. So even if you play it for a little bit and go, okay, that was nice, 99 cents is not going to break the bank.
Scott from Sydney, Australia here, and I'm going to talk about a game for the iPhone called Zany Touch, Zanytouch. If you look on the App Store for Zany Touch, all one word, like a Bop It type game for the iPhone, and it is absolutely fantastic. Really good game. It's worth 99 cents in the App Store, $1.19 for those of us in Australia. And the way it works is, you've got gestures you need to follow. The gestures are pretty much easy to follow. You've got like touch, swipe, swipe up, swipe down, pinch, swipe left, swipe right, and you've also got shake. And on the easiest level, you get 3 levels. There's easy, medium, and hard. Now on the easy level, you get shake, touch, swipe, and then when you go to medium, you get pinch, and you get swipe left and right, I'm pretty certain of that. So you've got a musical track in the background, and you simply listen to what the program tells you to do, and then you just do it within the few seconds you have, otherwise you lose. The other good thing about this is you can actually post your scores, or what they call challenges, to Twitter, which is a really nice feature. I wouldn't encourage you to do it all the time because you'll annoy people on Twitter, but you can do that nevertheless. I think it goes up to 200 or something. I got to 106 on the easy level. That's my best so far. Keep in mind, when you click on the easy, medium, or hard level buttons, then turn off your voiceover on your iPhone with your triple home click. Otherwise, it may not behave properly with voiceover running. So we'll launch the game now, and we'll show you how it works. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the easy level, and I'll launch the program.
Zany Touch.
Okay, so the game's now running. Now, you get the following buttons on the screen. You get New Game.
Help, Options.
Help and Options.
Friends, Scores.
Friends, Scores. So you can actually look at all the top ranking scores. And
More Games.
And you get more games you can buy from this particular developer. I don't think any of the other games from this developer are accessible. So I'm going to start New Game.
Help, New Game.
Go. Now, that other sound effect you're hearing when I tap on the options is just part of the program. It's nothing to do with the iPhone or VoiceOver. What I'd suggest here is to put your finger in the middle of the screen.
Help.
You options. Probably could swipe Friends. To the options, but I find it's easier just to just tap somewhere in the middle.
Medium. Button.
So I want the easy level.
Easy.
When I tap on this easy button, I'm going to turn off VoiceOver and play the game for a while just to give you all an idea of what this game sounds like.
VoiceOver off.
Swipe. Shake. Touch. Shake. Swipe. Let's go faster. Touch. Swipe. Touch. Swipe. Swipe. A little faster. Shake. 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 Touch. Swipe. Even faster. Touch. Swipe. Swipe. Touch. Touch. Faster still. Touch. Shake. Swipe. 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 Faster, faster. Touch. Touch. Swipe. Swipe. Touch. More speed. Shake. Touch. Swipe. Swipe. Shake. This is getting crazy. Shake. 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 Swipe. Touch. Super crazy. Touch. Swipe. 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 Touch. This is even more crazy. Shake. Shake. Swipe. Touch. Touch. Insane fast. Shake. Shake. Touch. Swipe. 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 Shake. Swipe. Shake. Swipe. Swipe. Shake. Rats, you didn't make it.
When you first play the game and you get to the end of a game, you're presented with a screen after it says, Rats, you lost. You got to turn your voiceover back on to get to that part of the program.
Voiceover on.
And
touch.
What I'll do, I'll just
heading level one.
Swipe here.
You made it past 62 challenges. Scroll down to see your placement.
So if I want to.
Name, table start, bot.
That's my name there.
Four, 62.
Okay, what I'm going to do.
Continue.
I'm just going to continue.
Submit to Twitter.
You can submit to Twitter.
Submit to Facebook.
You can submit to Facebook.
Change name.
You can change your name.
Zero.
You can ignore your score or continue.
Continue.
So I'm just going to
ignore this score. Submit to Twitter.
I'll just submit to Twitter.
Scotrant. Text field. 12 characters.
Got my password and everything in here.
Selected. Remember login. 1 of 2.
Remember login, which is fine.
Forget. 2 of. Submit.
Submit.
Submit. But. Submit.
Now, I think it tells you you've got to look on the screen to know when it submitted your score.
All done.
There we go. All done. So,
go back.
I'm just going to go back and...
Game over.
Go Heading back out one. Of here. I'll just go to continue down the bottom.
It can...
And now I'm back to the same screen as we got to when we first started the game.
New game.
It's very addictive, as you can all hear. The soundtrack is unbelievable. And I really encourage anyone who likes playing Bop It to go and get hold of this in the iTunes App Store. You play with it for hours. Just wanted to show you all the game. I hope you enjoyed this little mini review. Thank you very much for listening.
This is Michael Loff, inviting you to join me for coverage of the 2010 ACB Convention in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll cover as many interesting new products and services as time permits from July 10th through July 14th. And all you need to do is go to www.cerotalk.com. If you use iTunes, simply search for and add Cerotalk to your podcast feeds. Or Samnet members, either check the Socializer, Entertainment Guide, or Information Center for the latest podcasts. Keeping you informed, www.cerotalk.com. Before we conclude this podcast, I read on Twitter that there was a resolution in NFB to ask SiriusXM to create an accessible radio. Well, I kind of already have one, if you want to consider the iPhone a radio. There is an iPhone app, XMRO, XM Radio Online, simply labeled as Online.
Online. Double tap to open.
This lets you access most of the channels on XM. Actually, it includes a few channels that you would also get on Sirius. And in the past, it included only music channels. Now has many talk channels, including CNN, Fox, National Public Radio, other talk formats, and even the comedy channels, if you like stand-up comedy. Now, there are a couple channels that are not on there. For example, I cannot use it to listen to Coast Online. I want to quickly double-tap it and show you this
Online,
application.
Person, January 2nd, 11. Is VAR, mobile, applica, button.
You have a few unlabeled buttons. The infamous VAR mobile applica button on your iPhone.
Button underscore add to favs. Button.
Add to favs, which would be how you would add stations to your favorites.
Button underscore buy phony tune.
And there's a buy button. You can actually buy the songs that you're listening to. What great marketing.
Categories, heading.
Now, you have the categories where you can choose the stations. If you choose a category, it jumps to that place in the list. Otherwise, just scrolling left to right will go through all stations. And the categories are as follows.
Pop, rock, dance and electronic, hip-hop, R&B, country, Christian, jazz, blues and standards, classical, Latin and world, sports, entertainment, family, health, comedy, news and public radio, talk, religion. Showcase.
Again, what I like about this is people who can see the screen display of the radios, actually it shows them what song is currently playing or which talk show is currently on, so they can decide before going to that channel if they even wish to listen to it. And that's what this app does. It's a very nice feature. This app has not been updated to take advantage of iOS 4. And what I mean by that is apps that have been updated allow you to basically hit the home button and the app will minimize down to the task switcher and continue to play, or when you go there to click on that app, it will resume playing the station you were last listening to. This app has not been updated to do that as of yet. Let's listen to some audio.
Rock.
So we got the categories of pop.
Pop. Rock.
Rock. That's one of my favorites. So by choosing rock, it will move me to that part in the list.
Neil Young, Southern Man. Classic Vinyl.
Neil Young, Southern Man, Classic Vinyl. I don't know if it's my favorite song, but I do like the Classic Vinyl channel. So we will play that. Certainly it's a song that most people have heard.
Classic Vinyl. Sirius XM.
Ah, Who. Join Together. Again, not one of necessarily my favorite songs, but should showcase the fidelity of the product. As you can hear, it sounds really good. Again, better than the standalone radio. And while someone argues it's not worth it to pay $3 a month for an application, the benefit is that since it's not free and available to anyone, this definitely helps to guarantee that there is enough bandwidth to ensure that the stations will play when you want to listen to them. Let's choose another station.
Blue Underscore Arrow. Button. Don Henley, The Boys of Summer. Classic Rewind.
So again, you hear the artist, Don Henley, the title, Boys of Summer, and the radio station being Classic Rewind. And all I need to do is double tap.
Boys of Summer. Classic Rewind.
Now, this runs about 2 minutes behind the XM over-the-air radio feed. So I guess if you hear something on XM radio and it's a song you just haven't heard in years, you can go grab your iPhone and catch the beginning of it.
Blue Underscore Arrow. Button. David Crosby. Cowboy Movie. Deep Tracks. Blue Underscore Arrow. Dirty Heads. Lay Me Down. Jam On. Blue Underscore Arrow. Peter Tosh and Mick Jagger. Don't Look Back. The Spectrum. Blue Underscore Led Zeppelin, Houses of the Holy, Boneyard.
Well, I do like that song, Led Zeppelin, Houses of the Holy. Yeah, good stuff. Showing my age, but it's all good. Yeah, man. So if you like XM radio and you love your iPhone, why not marry the two together and get XMRO, the radio online app for your iPhone, allowing you to hear most of the XM radio channels, minus the MLB, the Major League Baseball. You do have the regular sports channels like ESPN and so forth, but just not the games. And maybe somewhere there's an option to pay for that. I didn't look that far, but it's a cool app and is, like it or not, a talking XM radio. So, rock on! You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.